Michelle and the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. That was fun, wasn't it? It just, you know, that was interesting that we were, you know, I was here with the team, obviously, beforehand, practicing, and there's just anointing in the practice. You can tell it, like, I don't know why that is, but you can just tell some Sundays that this is going to be a good Sunday. And so, you know what, the neat thing about that is it gives us an anticipation and an expectation as a team, and you know that it helps draw that anointing and that spirit of worship out of you guys, and we have that as a team as well, too. That's just the faithfulness of God. That's just God's spirit helping us, and that's what we pray for as a team, right? Lord, just use us to be able to help people come into your presence and worship. And it was just such a blessing to see you guys respond today. It really was. Just hands raised all over the place, and people singing all over the place. And when we do that, when we just surrender ourselves and worship, and I'm going to actually talk just a little bit about that this morning, something happens. You don't leave the same, right? Something happens in your heart. And so just thank you for joining with us this morning. What we're going to do today is a little bit different. I'm going to speak for a bit, but I want to leave some time in today's service for some testimonies and just some stories of what God's doing in your life. What could you possibly share? And I gave some of you a heads up last night. I just looked at my phone, some people I had texted recently. That's really good. Who got hit more than anything else. But so some people have a heads up. If you know, what would you want to share? Well, has the Lord been good to you? Has he brought healing to your body? Is there some provision he's brought to your life? Is there a relationship that's been restored? It could be all kinds of things. Really, if you have any story or example of God's goodness in your life, his faithfulness in your life, that can be a testimony. It doesn't have to be long. It can be 20 seconds. It might be a couple minutes. But we're going to give you opportunity to share that. So just a heads up, even while I'm talking, you know, the Holy Spirit might be reminding you of something that happened that was unexpected, and it was an example of his goodness in your life. And I just encourage you to be brave. Come share with us. And we want to hear what God's doing. And so, you know, I have like 4 pages of notes instead of 8. So that means I should be done in like 20 minutes. Maybe. You know, I'll talk for a bit, but I really want to give you guys opportunity to share, because this is a service where you're going to have the ability to encourage each other with what God's doing in your life. I want to start with a story. A young woman is preparing her first Thanksgiving dinner. As she gets everything ready for Thanksgiving Day, she reminds herself to let the turkey finish thawing in the sink overnight. She puts it in and she places the dish rack over the top of the bird. Her husband walks into the kitchen and says, "Why are you doing that?" "Well, my mom always did that to help the turkey thaw," she said. Okay. The next day, mom calls to see how everything is going. "It's going fine, mom. I already have everything in the oven, and I even remembered to put the dish rack, over the turkey last night." This seemed to confuse her mother a bit. "What are you talking about?" she asked. "Oh," she said, "I always remember you put the dish rack over the turkey when it was thawing in the sink the night before." There was a pause at the end of the line. "Yes, but honey, we had cats." It's kind of a funny story. And by the way, we have had to put the dish rack at some point over the turkey thawing sometimes. Or it's actually a frying pan. You put that frying pan right over the turkey. We don't have cats in our house anymore, praise the Lord. But if you do have cats, you'd want to do that. And just kind of a funny story about how sometimes we do things and we're not even sure why we're doing them. It's just tradition. It's just part of what we do, right? And so, you know, the little bit that I'm going to talk to you guys this morning, I've just titled it, Why Church? And I want to talk just a little bit about why is it that we come to church on a Sunday? Why is it that we do the things? There's lots of things that happen at church on a Sunday morning. Some of you take part in some, and parts not others, but, you know, I mean, why is it that the worship band comes early, prepares for 2 hours? There's pre-service prayer where people are coming into a back room and praying before the service. Then we get together and we worship and we sing together and we sing out loud and we raise our hands, and then we have announcements and we get to hear about events that are happening, things that are upcoming, and we get excited about it. And then we get to pray for our children and release them, or we hear an offering message, an encouraging word that reminds us of God's desire to have us walk in abundance. And then we hear the word of God taught, right? We receive revelation and we receive just wisdom from God's word. And then we pray together after the service, and we take time to visit. Why do we do all these things? I can't hit all those things, but that's an example of all the things, or often many of the things that happen at Solitaire. Why do we take time to share, you know, the God's word with the children and have someone explain it to them in a way that they can really understand it and grab a hold of it? These things are all important, and each one of them is very intentional. And so, you know, I understand that you're here, you're in church, so it's kind of like preaching to the choir a little bit, but I think it's still important for us to be reminded, why is it that we come to church? Why is it that we gather together to believers? Why is it that we do the things that we do? Because they are very intentional. There's nothing that we do here that I'm aware of, at least, on a Sunday morning that just by accident. It's just like, well, we couldn't think of anything else to do, so I guess we sing some songs. And, well, I mean, the kids would probably make less noise if they're back there, so I guess we'll put them back there. No, we don't think like that at all. It's very intentional, and there's things that we feel that God has spoken us to do, and that's why we do the things that we do, and that's why sometimes we make the changes that God's asked us to make. And so that's what we're going to talk about. You know, the important thing that, you know, that I want to start off with is that church each week, it's not just an event filled with meaningless tradition, but I think if we understand the value of what we do, if we understand why is it that we do these things, then I think our desire to participate, our desire to engage will increase, and our spiritual life will increase as a result. Our walk with God will increase as a result. The level that we connect with God will increase as a result, and the way we connect with others, I think, and have relationship with other believers will increase as well. So why church? Well, if you talk to someone who doesn't attend church, you know, especially in this day and age, it seems that they might tell you that you know, their walk with the Lord has nothing really to do with going to church. You know, I'm a believer. I love, you know, I know Jesus, but, you know, church is kind of something I used to do, but, you know, maybe they don't have time for it anymore. Maybe they don't see it as relevant or as important to their faith as they once did. Maybe they just see it as you know, some traditions, but it really doesn't add anything meaningful to my life. And there's a lot of people, and I think it's increasingly, I was just reading an article this morning, I actually just stumbled across it, and, you know, and it was an article from the U.S., but why young people are leaving the church was the name of the article, and it was actually probably a believer that wrote the article, because it ended off by saying, we need to make a change, we need to do something, but they weren't presenting any answer, they were just presenting some surveys and some statistics and things like that. But I think increasingly, much more so than even in decades past, you know, the church is not viewed as relevant. It's not viewed as important of an event in the Christian's walk. And I want to say, first of all, if you're a Christian, church is not something you go to. Church is who you are. Church is not something you go to. You are the church, okay? And so if you're thinking about church and thinking, well, church is optional, guess what? If you're a believer, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are the church. So if that's true, like, you know, we're all humans in this room. Can we say, well, I'm a person, I'm a human, but I'm not part of humanity on this earth, you know. Humanity, I'm not part of humanity. It's impossible. If you're a human, if you're a person, you're part of humanity. And I believe that same concept applies to church. If you're a believer, if you love God, you are the church. You don't go to church, you are the church. That alone, if we start thinking that way and start realizing that, will give us a massive paradigm shift, because then we'll realize that if we're not gathering together with believers, they miss out. If we're not there and we're part of the church, they're going to miss out by not having us there. And certainly we miss out, right? If I, you know, especially now that I'm pastoring, I mean, you guys would miss the sermon at least some weeks if I wasn't here. But I would miss out as well, because I get built up and encouraged. In worship today, I was absolutely blessed and stirred by just being able to be on the band and play my instrument and worship with you guys. Something happened inside of me. Some fresh fire was downloaded into my spirit just from being here with you guys and gathering together in worship. So I get blessed when I come to church as well, too. So when we're not being part of the church, everyone else misses out, but we miss out as well, too. So that's the key thought. You don't go to church. You are the church. You know, some people say that church is just man's idea of religion, and certainly religion is man's attempt just to reach God. We're not talking about religion here. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the group of believers that God has on this church. And, you know, I believe that the church is God's idea. I believe that Jesus established the church. If we go to Ephesians 3, go ahead and put that up, Nathan. Ephesians 3, 10, 11. God's purpose in all this was to use the church display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the church was established in Christ Jesus, but the church is God's plan, and God intends, and it's always been his plan, to use the church in all its wisdom and all its abundance and all its glory and all its variety. There's a large variety of people here today, right? But God intends to use the church As different as we are, when we come together to accomplish His great plan and His great purposes on this earth, it wasn't man that came up with the idea of church. You know, certainly, there's certainly man that established religious traditions. I'm not talking about religious traditions. I'm talking about coming together as believers and choosing to fellowship with each other, choosing to worship together, choosing to hear the word together. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about church. Matthew 16, 17, and 18 gives us just a picture into Jesus' perspective on the church. This was, I actually preached from this passage a few weeks back. This is when Jesus asked Peter and the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And of course, Peter said, in this translation, they're calling him Simon, but Peter said, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus said in Matthew 16, 17, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." Jesus is building his church. Jesus established the church. It was God's plan for Jesus to build a church, to be the cornerstone for the church. And sometimes, you know, when we realize that you know, perhaps people aren't seeing the church with this, and not viewing it with the same influence or the same significance in their lives, we can feel like the powers of hell are coming against the church and that the world, you know, is just going to like water down the church and pretty soon the church will disappear. That is not the case, right? There are parts of the world that are darker, yes, but I believe that the church is increasing in power and in brightness and will continue to do that until the last days. And we're part of that here on Swan River. So Jesus is building his church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it, will not subdue it, will not water it down, will not dim it, because Jesus is building his church. And the church belongs to Jesus. He's the head. Here's the thing. If you want to get rid of church, I believe you need to get rid of Jesus. The church is God's idea. Jesus established the church. And so if you're going to say church is not for me, then really what you're saying is God's plan of having believers walk together is not for me. And really you're just throwing out the baby and the bathwater. It's so important to be tied to a local family of believers and to come regularly to fellowship and to worship and hear God's word. I believe you can't have Jesus and not have the church. I'm not saying you're not, I want to be clear, I'm not saying you're not saved if you're not going to church. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying if you're a believer and you truly want to follow God's plan for your life, I believe that being a healthy part of a healthy church is part of God's plan for your life as a believer. And so find that church and learn how to be a part of it. Amen? Three great reasons to be in church each week. I'm going to move through these. You know, I actually got these three actually I read in a blog post this week, and I was just blessed by it when I read it. I had no idea that I would speak about it. And I've kind of reworded it and added it and tweaked it a bit, but it was a blog post that I read this week, and I thought, these are good reasons to be in church each week. Here's reason number one. We get uninterrupted time to receive revelation and wisdom from God. We get uninterrupted time to receive revelation and wisdom from God. You know, the teaching that I believe that we receive on a Sunday morning, the wisdom we receive from God's word, when we're even just having a scripture on the screen and having us read that scripture together, there's impartation that happens right there. There's revelation that you can just read. I don't have to say anything about it, or my dad doesn't have to say anything about it, or Pastor Fallon when she's preaching, or whoever. You know, we could just put God's word up there and look at it and say it and speak it, and that could be enough right there, right? Now, we do get to expound on it because it's anointed word of God, and so we believe that God speaks to us and gives us anointing to, you know, to get further insight and to unpack it. But God's word is so powerful to change our lives. And when we, you know, I believe when it's taught with anointing and revelation, we're never the same. Something gets into our spirit. Something changes. We receive God's word. We're like, man, I never saw that situation that way. I never saw myself that way before. I never realized everything that God's given me. And it should, and I believe it does when we receive that revelation, it should change our Monday to Saturday. What happens on a Sunday should change the way we live Monday to Saturday. If we're receiving revelation, if we're receiving wisdom from God's word, you know, when we're, you know, and it's good to listen during the week as well. You know, my mom, I always admired her that, because every time I go up there, she's got a video on, a DVD or a teaching of some kind. And I try and do that sometimes in my vehicle or when I'm working at certain times. You know, that's awesome. It's the more of word of God you can get into your spirit, the better. Perhaps you have BVOV, Believer's Voice of Victory, on cable, or I know the Cooks have it on their Roku. You know, there's other great ways that you can get the word of God, or perhaps you're reading magazines, Christian magazines. That's great to get the word of God in. But what happens sometimes when we're doing that, during the week, and this happens to me, is we get interrupted. We might get a phone call. Or if we're at home, you know, one of the kids might say, I'm hungry, which they say often. And then you're pulled away, and now you're making a meal, right? And you're like, forget where you're at. And it's just not quite the same as being in church and having really nothing else on your agenda, where you can just sit there and say, Lord, I'm going to receive your word today. I'm going to get revelation from your spirit and find out what you have for me today. And again, so I encourage you, get into the word, but it's often not quite the same as being together and just having uninterrupted time. There's no phone calls, there's no to-do lists, there's no chores, things that, you know, pop in your mind, I need to do that. You know, if you remember there's something you need to do and you're here in church, well, you can just set that aside. But chances are if you're at home and we just go do that thing, and you might get pulled away. So time in church is uninterrupted time to focus on what God's teaching you and reflect on how God is asking you to grow. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you. Pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. And so, of course, Solomon is writing these words in Proverbs, but he's echoing the words of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is saying, fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. And then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. That's what, man, get into God's word. Think about it. Unwrap it. Unpack it. See, what is the Lord speaking to me? And let it get deep into your spirit. It will change your life. You know, God's word can just heal your body just by hearing God's word and meditating on it, doing nothing else, because faith will arise in your spirit, and it can restore relationships. It can heal your body. It can bring abundance in places where you've had lack before, just by getting in God's word, meditating it, letting it go deep, and then letting it do something in your life. Second reason why it's so important, I believe, to come together is we experience the value of worshiping God with others. And I believe that's what we experienced this morning. We experienced the value of coming together and worshiping God with others. I believe that when we're together, there's we call it a corporate anointing, but there's just something when we see, you know, we can look around and we see other people around us entering in, maybe they're raising their hands or they're singing, and that can stir us to do the same. Now, that's not to say there's nothing wrong with singing to worship CD, maybe, or you know, worship recording on your phone or whatever, and you're singing along, or maybe you're in the shower and you want to sing or whatever, you know, playing music, worship music or Christian music while you're working. That's great. And sometimes maybe you are encouraged and motivated to enter into worship, but I don't believe it's quite the same as coming together with other believers and choosing corporately to press into God's presence together. And so Sunday's an opportunity to do that, where chances are you're not going to get that opportunity other times during the week. Most of us wouldn't get together with our family and say, let's have a worship time together. If your family's like that, that's awesome. We've done that pretty rare, but we have occasionally. But Sunday is really your opportunity to get together with your true family, the family of God, and worship together. And when you do that, I believe that it takes humility to worship. It really does. It's kind of just a setting aside our pride, sometimes setting aside, you know, your preference. Sometimes we might feel that we're just setting aside our dignity even. But, you know, it does take oftentimes a setting aside of our dignity and our pride to worship. If you go back and look at the psalm, it's not in the Psalms, but it's actually in 2 Samuel, I believe. You know, and David says, I will be undignified before you. And his wife was embarrassed because David was really actually being undignified. He was just going for it. Here he was, the king of Israel, and he was just dancing and praising and worshiping the Lord and just not acting like a king at all. But that ministered to God. And that's why David was a man after God's own heart, because he was willing to set aside his pride and his dignity and his preferences and say, Lord, I'm just gonna respond to you however my spirit chooses to respond. I'm going to put my mind aside, because the mind is the part that stops us from worshiping. Right? When we're truly worshiping, it's our spirit connecting with God's spirit. Our mind is what gets in the way, our will and emotions. And sometimes, I guess, the body can get in the way as well, too, depending on how limber you are. But it's really, if we just set aside our mind and say, Lord, I'm just going to let my spirit lead me and guide thee. I'm going to set aside my dignity and my pride. I'm going to surrender myself to you. You might find that arm shooting up when it hasn't shot up before. And you might find yourself starting to sing the words when you haven't done that before. But when you do that, something's going to happen to you. You're going to get blessed in that moment. And the person beside you might be encouraged to do the same. And that's what can happen when we worship together. So there's a corporate anointing. Hebrews, I believe, talks about this. We're going to spend just a couple of scriptures here from Hebrews 10. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and with no hesitation. How do we come into God's presence? Boldly and with no hesitation, when we know who we are in Christ, when we have that identity issue that Fallon talked about this morning, when that's solved, when we know who we are in Christ, we can come boldly into God's presence. We set a mind aside because we say, no, regardless of who my mind is trying to tell me that I am because of what I did this week, my spirit is telling me that I'm righteous and I fully qualify to be in God's presence. So I'm going to raise my hands and I'm going to lift my voice and I'm going to let my spirit connect with God's Spirit. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. What's this verse talking about? Well, in the Old Covenant, what happened was only the priests could enter the tabernacle. And there was a veil between the regular part of the temple and the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. There was a veil there, and once a year, only one priest could go through. Well, Jesus, as our high priest, went through into the Holy of Holies. He restored us. He redeemed us. He made us righteous, tore the veil in two, so now that we can come with him into God's presence. It's just not one person once a year that gets to go into God's presence, but anytime we want, and especially when we gather together as believers, we all together get to come with Jesus into the presence of God and worship before his throne. Verse 21, and since we now have a magnificent king priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. There's that identity thing again. When you have the identity of the righteousness of God in Christ, you are fully convinced by faith that nothing keeps us at a distance from God. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from accusing conscience. Remember, our heart can condemn us. We've been freed from that condemning heart, and now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. You know, it's God's righteousness that gives us the ability to come in with a smile on our face, even when we had a cruddy week, and say, God, I can enter your presence with joy because of who I am in Christ. I can raise my hands and worship. I will come into your presence. And when we do that, you know, those worries, those concerns, those problems that we have just melt away in God's presence, and he begins to speak to us and minister us. And we have new life in that moment, for that moment, but also moving forward for the next week ahead. And that's why I believe one of the reasons why coming together and worshiping together is so important. Here's the last point I'm going to make this morning. Why is it important to come together as believers on a Sunday as part of the church? We become part of the power and movement of the church. We become part of the power and movement of the church. You know, the Church of God has amazing mission and purpose. We are called to go into all the gospel, preach the gospel to all believers, you know, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So, you know, we're called to be part of that mission. You know, the specific vision that we have for Solid Rock Church is that we're free, full, and overflowing. But we're also part of a greater mission, a greater purpose. And so it's not just our church, but it's all churches gathered together and all believers together that are part of God's plan and purpose for the church. And so we get to, you know, spread the news that God loves us, that he's got amazing plans for us. And you know, that's an amazing, you know, the good news really is good news. And so it's not a burden to share the good news with someone else, because it's good news, you know. I'll just leave it at that. The good news, you know, if you're ever wondering, how do I explain the gospel to someone? Well, make it good. Tell them the good news. Tell them that in spite of how you feel and what you've done, there's good news and there's a good God who has good things for you. And when you start thinking like that, it makes it a lot easier to share the gospel. You know, we can be a Christian and not actively participate in a local church. We talked about that. We know our salvation is not dependent upon going to church. You know, years ago, churches used to teach that. I guess it would bolster their membership numbers or whatever. I'm talking even centuries past. So, you know, you can be a Christian, not attend church. But I believe there's a lot more at stake to your life. And if you're going to fulfill everything that God's called you to do, there's a lot more to life than just being a Christian and having a relationship with Jesus. You are called to be part of the mission and part of the power of the church. And how do you do that? It's by doing exactly what you guys are doing here today, gathering together and being part of God, this movement of believers. And the example in the blog post I read, the the writer talked about how the fact that, you know, our lives are babbling brooks, and they kind of twist and turn, they move along, and we're a little bit of water, and we might bubble and splash. When I think of a babbling brook, I think of Ruby Creek in front of our house. It's kind of a babbling brook, and it's actually babbling a lot less these days. It's getting pretty dry, actually. But there's a lot of creeks in the valley. Chances are, you might not have the Ruby Creek near you, but you probably have some sort of creek or some sort of waterway that's near you. But, you know, those babbling brooks that represent our lives, what happens when they get together? Well, the Ruby Creek joins the Roaring River about a kilometer east of our house. And suddenly, you know, you can actually see that the Roaring River seems to have more strength after the Ruby joins it than before, especially in the spring. This is an interesting thing because we can kind of have access to both areas. But you look at this area and the Ruby joins in, and then eventually the Roaring joins the Swan. And, you know, all these babbling brooks, as they join together, they're no longer just a babbling little brook anymore, but they can turn into a roaring stream and a torrent that's powerful. And an example of this is actually the Niagara Falls, because there's a whole river system that connects to Niagara Falls. And you could see that little babbling brook and think, well, there's no way that this is a mighty powerful waterfall. But you go 50 and 100 miles away, and eventually you get to experience Niagara Falls. And Niagara Falls is simply the result of hundreds of streams and rivers coming together. And it's this massive torrent of water that is just a wonder of the world. And people come from all over the world to check out the Niagara Falls. But that is all those babbling brooks coming together. And I believe that that's a picture of the church. So your life is a babbling brook, and I'm a babbling brook. But here in this room, when we come together, we're no longer a babbling brook. We're a mighty river. We're a powerful force of people coming together. And so when I add my life and my energy and my passion to yours, and you're willing to do that to my life, and we do that to each other, we accomplish so much more. There's so much more power and energy and things that we can accomplish together than we can if we're just doing our own thing. And that, I believe, is one of the most powerful reasons why God has asked us not to do life alone. Yes, we can be a Christian and we can kind of do our own thing, but we are not accomplishing the vision and mission for God's church when we're just trying to do it alone. When we come together, we create something powerful. We're part of the movement of the church, and we are helping everyone in this place achieve what God has for us. Amen. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25. I just want to share this verse. This is just a continuation of the verses we just read. Just want to encourage you guys, I don't believe this is the time to pull back. I don't know if anyone's been thinking about pulling back from coming to church. But the Lord just spoke to me this strong, I believe, last night as I was preparing. This is not a time to pull back. This is a time to press in. And that can seem hard because fall is busier oftentimes for us. I know fall gets way busier for our family. I'm talking way busier. We have a daughter that's on the volleyball team this year. Christian's starting hockey right away. And, of course, we have all kinds of things happening at our acreage as well, too. And sometimes we just look like, I'm away for a few days next week, and Candace was telling him her schedule, and I just kind of looked at her like, I have no idea how you're going to do all that. Every day there's like two or three things, and some of them are overlapping, but she's awesome. She's going to make it happen, perhaps with the help of some grandparents. But, you know, fall is a... just talk afterwards. But fall is a busy time, right? But it's not a time, I believe, to pull back. It's not a time to say, well, I'm going to get more into work, and we're getting more into doing some family things, but I guess maybe we'll just go to church, once a month instead of three or four times a month or whatever. I believe that God is calling us to press in even more. Be willing to join our babbling brooks to other people's babbling brooks, and that He wants to do something mighty and powerful this year as we come together. And so that's what these verses in Hebrews 10 are talking about, starting in verse 23. So now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps His promises, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. So apparently 2,000 years ago, people are still developing these bad habits. Because we need each other. Remember, if you're not at church, you are missed. If you're not at church, you are missed. We miss out if you're not here. And I miss out if I'm not here. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. So there's going to be opportunities for you guys to meet together even more frequently. We have course, the youth have youth groups starting up very soon. We have healing school on Fridays. If you're not doing anything else on a Friday afternoon, you're not sure what to do, come down, join my parents for healing school at 1:30 on Friday afternoons. We're going to have connect groups starting soon. You'll see those launching in 2 or 3 weeks or so. We're just putting together the final details for that. Then we'll have sign up again, and they'll have an opportunity to meet midweek in connect groups. And the vision for our connect group ministry is connecting to God and connecting with others. And when we do that, we grow with God and we grow together with others. So you're going to have opportunity to join a connect group. Why is that important? Because it's building a relationship. It's getting this habit of meeting more together. And, you know, and it's really, it gives exponential increase to all the things that we've talked about. And so I just want to encourage you, get fresh fire, get fresh passion for coming together as believers. You know, if someone says, well, I'm not so sure about church, now you got some things to share with them. You know what? Say, this is why church is important to me. This is what it's done in my life. This is how it's changed me. This is how it's helped me stay strong. And I believe that together we will be a force for strengthening the church in this community. Not just our church, but other churches as well, because there's many other good churches in this community. Amen? That's what I have for you today. Now, what is one of the things? There was a phrase in that verse that says, eager to encourage each other and urge each other onward. How do we do that? One of the ways we do that is by sharing stories of what God's doing in our life. Just testimonies of God's goodness and his faithfulness. You know, when I hear what God's doing in your life, that gets me excited. You know, and sometimes we all don't talk to each other. And so, you know, we probably need this more often. But we're going to have just time right now to share some testimonies. And so we got at least 20 minutes, 25 minutes, where we can spend some time just hearing what each other has to say and what's going on. So I'm going to open up the pulpit right now. And if you have something to share, get brave. I'll get the mic up here. And let's hear what God's doing. Who's first? All right. Connie's coming up. I like this one.
So you've all probably seen our kids running around tripping you and whatnot. Our little Corey, she had such a hard time walking. Her little feet were twisted, her knees, she was knock-kneed, and she'd trip over her own toes. And, well, I had taken her to the doctor for a complete different reason. And the doctor had noticed when she was walking out the door, she says, what's wrong with her legs? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, she's been like that forever. I said, I was kind of concerned. I said, but she's a kid and she'll grow and hopefully it'll all work out for the better. And she says, I don't know. She says, we'll send her to an orthopedic specialist in Winnipeg. So, okay, she says, but in the meantime, she says, get insoles for her shoes that give her proper support and wear certain kind of shoes on her. And so we're frantically looking for this, and I found some on Amazon, so I ordered them for her and stuck them in her shoes, and she's kind of walking even a little more funny, and because it looked painful almost. And so finally we get this appointment, and we head off to Winnipeg with Corey, and we're sitting in the doctor's office. We get there early, and, well, it'll be a while, so you can go and have breakfast and whatnot. Okay. We get back early still, and the doctor goes, okay, you can come on in. We just get into the exam room and thought, well, here's our wait, right? Used to in town here, waiting forever. Well, we barely get seated. The doctor comes in. He says, what can I do for you? So we explain Corey's little legs, and he grabs her legs and he twists them, and we thought, oh boy, that looks like it's painful. And she's sitting there and she's giggling at him because I guess it tickled. And so he turned her around and he's checking her ankles and her knees and her hips, and he says, she's so flexible. She's more flexible than an athlete. There is nothing wrong with her.
Wow.
Nothing wrong with her. But while we were waiting for this appointment, we come to Cam and Candace, and we asked for prayer for Corey's little legs, and thankfully she's fine.
Praise God. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
You know, Joe texted me after their Joe and Connie were at that appointment, and man, that was the best text I received in a long time, because that's exactly what we did. We had little Corey come up, And we laid our hands right on those legs. We prayed the prayer of faith. We declared them straight and normal and free of pain. And praise God, He's healed this little girl. Amen. So that's just a powerful testimony of God's faithfulness. Who else would like to share? Come on up. Okay. I can do that too. I'm flexible. Not as flexible as Corey.
Now embarrass my wife saying, oh, well, this is good.
I'm going to do this from my seat because I want you to think of God's goodness and not me while I'm up there. I have a testimony for you that's been going on for about a year. About a year ago, I hurt my left leg while I was doing some exercises at the gym. And couldn't walk for a while. I complained lots for a while. And went and seen the doctor for a while. And I got Denise to... Actually, Denise offered one night to pray over it, and then I had Doug pray over it the next day. And within 2 days, the pain in the knee went away so that I could start functioning again without meds. The doctor gave me painkillers. He gave me naproxen for inflammation. And that was about 3-4 months ago when they prayed over my knee. And as long as I'm not dumb and don't overstress the knee, that knee does not give me any more problems. On Friday, Doug and I were sitting, and he said to me, he asked me some questions, and he said to me, he said, how's the knee? And I said, the knee's good. I told him exactly what I just told you. And he said, remember, Bob, that the knee is healed no matter what you feel.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I took from Doug. So our God is good.
Amen.
Our God is good. He's healed this knee. And I've been walking a bit at the gym, trying to walk again to get started. The doctor has diagnosed it as arthritis, which I don't accept. Denise doesn't accept. I don't accept. Doug doesn't accept. It's not arthritis.
Sorry.
So slowly here, I'm going to start walking again. And that's my story for this testimony.
Amen.
Our God is good.
I also have a testimony. This is a family testimony. My niece is Shay. Some of you know her. She's 17, and she and her mom were heading for a couple-day vacation just to go away camping. And they were heading towards, where were they going? Oh, Assisippi. They were going to go camp. And so they left after work, and they were driving. And about 9 o'clock, I guess, we get a phone call from Shay, and she says, I'm like, hi, and she's like, hi, auntie, and whatever, and she sounded fine, and she says, we hit a moose, and I'm like, and she jokes sometimes and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, or something. She goes, no, auntie, we hit a moose, and I was like, okay, and I said, and she says, but we're okay, and I guess what happened is, and she was driving, and so they're driving along, and it's still daylight, but Candace said they were on like a some areas where, you know, you're coming up over around and the areas further down. Mm-hmm. And she said they were just driving along. It's daylight. There's no animals anywhere. And Candace had said something, and Shay turned to respond. And at that second, Candace just went, Shay. And this moose came, she said, like from nowhere and right up to the road. But it ran alongside of them. And so Shay was starting to brake and slow down. And then it turned in front of them. But she had slowed down a bit already. But they said it was like the moose turned in front of them and they hit it, but it came over the hood of the car and flipped back somehow and ran off into, like, fell into the ditch and took off into the bush. And I was just like, honey, I said, that's the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I said to her, it's like an angel took that moose and tossed it aside, because we know what happens when you hit moose a lot of times, right? And just to say, when we travel or when we know our family's traveling, we pray the blood of Jesus over Amen. Those vehicles. We pray that God keeps them safely on the road, keeps all obstacles out of their path, and not just when they're traveling, but when we got off the phone with her, it was just like, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Your blood works. Jesus gave us his blood. He shed his blood. Not just for our salvation, for our protection, our preservation, our wholeness. And so that was just such a testimony that the protection of Jesus was over them when they traveled. So I just encourage you, when you travel, when your kids are traveling, when your family's traveling, Declare that blood over them. Cover them with the blood, because it works.
Amen. Thank you. Who's next? No, there's a few more of you, I'm pretty sure, but anyway. All right, we got Paul.
Well, this one's been a... I got a loud voice, so we don't need it anyway. This one's been a couple, about 3 years in the making. About 3 years ago, I got a dream. I believed it was from the Lord, and it was about a quarter of land. And this particular quarter is in a really very nice area. So anyway, I kind of was seeking him on it. And then, how could I word this? Oh, he'll give me the words. And I was seeking him on it. And then last year I went through, ended up getting really, really sick. And the Lord decided he was going to take me through the Midbar. So in the Book of Mysteries, I don't know if anybody's read the Book of Mysteries. That's another word for walking through the wilderness. So last year was basically a wilderness walk with Jesus and growing my faith. And walking the wilderness, it just kind of turned from my, like in my past, it was just really, really paper thin. And where he took me, he's grown it to almost the point where it's getting to be mountain moving. And whatever I see, I just start throwing the word at it, and my spirit man just comes out. So with this quarter, of course, we were praying and believing about it. And I know Cam and Candace stood on me with it, and Garth and Judy Martin, we were praying about it. And when it came down to the time of the sale, we got there, and I was praying and believing for the quarter for $70,000 was what the Lord told me to pay for this quarter. So we got to the sale, and there was this one guy in Alpine. He kind of goes to sales just to bid things up, and that's just his thing. But I forgive him for what he did, because I believe the Lord has higher powers, and you know he supplies all my needs. So
right.
And so he was at the sale, and of course the devil's there, you know, he's gonna bid it up, you know, big time. You just say, no, devil, I'm a child of God. I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm redeemed from the hand of the fool.
That's right.
And he just starts, and I started throwing the word out there as he was, you know, throwing those thoughts in your head. And praise the Lord, you know, and at the end of the sale, it came to it. Usually when you get to some big money, you get a little nervous, but it ended up coming into Morningstar Ranch's hands, and I was actually pretty calm for the price I paid. And I really believe with the extra money that I paid, it was to bless the people that needed it the most. Because the guy that I ended up buying it off of, he was sick. He was having trouble with his liver, and he needed to go to Toronto for surgery. So I really, the extra money that needed there was for that surgery for him.
Amen.
What the Lord's got coming down the tube for it, it's going to be awesome.
It's exciting. Amen.
It was exciting to watch that and to walk that journey with Paul. You know, we knew where that land was on the way to Madge Lake on the 83 there, and so every time we would be able to drive by it, we were able to join our faith with him and say, thank you, Lord, that this land belongs to Paul and it's Morningstar Ranch, and just declare that and to see God move and give that land to Paul. And if you ever want to get excited and see someone with a vision, just ask Paul what his plan for Morningstar Ranch and get him to lay it out for you, and he'll show you some drawings and he'll just share what's in his heart. And there's an amazing thing that's going to happen with that ranch up there in Alpine. So we thank you, Paul, for sharing that testimony. All right, who else would like to share this morning? Why don't you come, Linda, and then we'll have Ryan next.
Yeah, I was just thinking what Pastor Cam was talking about, church, the importance of being in church and part of the people, and that's certainly been... Think about that. And I've had, I'd say, over a 30-year walk with Jesus. I mean, I was a believer before that, but it was approximately 30 years ago I came into the relationship with Jesus, which changed me tremendously. But I was thinking about the harvest, you know, where Jesus talked about the harvest. You plant your seed, and it produces 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And sometimes I wonder, you know, kind of what's... How do I help anyone else with their faith? But, you know, the biggest harvest over those 30 years has been my daughter. You know, here she was young in her teens, but the time I accepted Jesus. You know, we she'd ask questions. I'd talk about the Christian faith and about Jesus, and I was quite definite on Christian values. And, you know, I really wondered sometimes, was she listening to me? Was she hearing what I said? But, you know, she did grow up to be, she accepted Jesus herself. Her life was always ordered by Christian values. She married a Christian. They're bringing up their children as Christians. She and her husband have a contact with non-Christians, close friendships, which I don't have, that and influence with them. That I would say that her life is perhaps the biggest harvest of mine, and I praise God for that. I thank Him for that.
That's awesome. It's neat how often the Lord is working in the background in our lives and the lives of our children and families. Sometimes we don't always see it until all of a sudden, boom, there it is in front of us. We realize He's been working all along while we were standing in faith for that situation.
Well, I just, this summer, had a good chance in July, especially to spend time with our family. And my testimony isn't anything spectacular, looks like in the natural, but to us it is. And we had a good chance to go camping. I could give testimony about even how we booked those sites, because it's like mayhem online that first morning, and just the favor
that,
for
yeah.
the site we wanted. But we also had just time to spend in the camper with our family, and extra time. So we took some of that time each morning with a children's devotional and spent time with our family going through that. And then there's a chance for everyone to either write or draw a picture about what Holy Spirit was speaking to them that during that devotion. And it was just neat to see how Holy Spirit spoke to our kids and how we could spend time in the Word with our family during that time, that extra time that we don't necessarily get during the year. We pray, we spend time, but this was, you know, at least an hour each morning, and it was just neat to see. And I want to also encourage you guys to look for testimonies in little things too.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that happen. Well, that's just coincidence. But no, those kind of things happen to me all the time because I am a child of God. We were at the Cowan Trail Ride, which you were on a horse, Chris, and your family. We were on quads. We weren't quite as adventurous, but there were prizes, and I got back, and I had won. I had won a nice Can-Am T-shirt, which it was just door prize things, and it was exactly my size. And I mean, there was a lot of prizes there that I was like, you know, that's probably something that I probably wouldn't use, but that T-shirt was nice, and I just praise the Lord for that. And yesterday on Facebook, I think a lot of you liked this or commented on it, so I asked Nathan to throw a picture up here, but Brad and Shelley aren't here this morning because they're heading out east. This is just a little testimony that Brad shared on Facebook yesterday, feeling blessed. Blessed with Upgrade on West Jet, great way to start. So they're being blessed out in the east too.
Awesome. They look like pretty comfortable flyers, don't they? They're having fun.
I'll just add one more little story like that. We were on a shopping weekend this last long weekend, and we were in Winnipeg, and it was Friday, and I don't know, we needed to get to Costco, but who knows? Like, that's like, why would you go to Costco on a Friday? Well, we did. I had to get there, and that was my only chance, and it was, of course, nuts. Like, driving in the parking lot, it's just, you can hardly get, like, it's just people everywhere and carts everywhere and bulk. Everyone was double, like, there were people parking in spots that weren't parking spots. And there was just, like,
sorry.
It was you, wasn't it? No. I never even thought of doing that, though, because we probably could have got away with that. It was just a few things. I just needed a few things. So it's just like, we drive around, Ryan's like, just hop out. We'll come in if we can. And so I hop out. And I'm shopping, like, I was hardly in there. And he's like, we're in. Where are you? And I was like, I was thinking, did you double park? What did you do to get in here? And sure enough, he dropped me off and turned around, and there was a spot right at the front, wide open. Didn't even have to fight anyone for it or take it from anyone. He just pulled right in. So, but, I mean, that's something little. But I just want to add to what Ryan says. Like, I think that often with my life, like, comes a testimony time. You think, well, I haven't been saved from the brink of anything, mm-hmm. But that is a testimony. Because just as powerful as God is to save, he's just as powerful to keep from a spot where you need saving. Yeah. So if you, maybe you're feeling that way too, or maybe that's something you should have set your faith for, that I don't need saving so much because God keeps me.
Amen.
And he helps me order my life so that it helps me plan ahead and helps things be smooth for me, because that is a testimony of being a child of God. So I encourage you with that too.
Awesome. Do you want to get in here right now? Okay.
I left out a really important detail.
I'll come back.
The car is fine. Like, there's a little tiny dent, like, on the side. Like, just a little. And on the hood, it's like a little rumple. Like, that's it. That's all that happened, so.
Wow.
For us, our life has changed quite significantly in the last couple of years, as you all know, where we used to be, we used to have full-time involvement with the church, and that was just full-time for us. Our life is different now, and while we still are in part-time support from the church, and we work part-time for the church, we have a lot more time that we are involved in the community, working with our hands, and that sort of thing. So a couple weeks ago, I was surveying all that, and in my prayer time, I said, God, I just want you to open up some doors for me. I want you to use me. Just not, like, I don't believe that the only way God can use you is up here. But I believe that God wants to use us all there. And so I said, God, like, do it. So that was good. So that afternoon, I think it was that afternoon, next day, doesn't matter, I was out getting gas for the truck. I pulled into the co-op, and as I pulled into the co-op, I noticed a fella on a motorcycle, and I didn't think a lot about it, except I felt the Holy Spirit say, go talk to him, and I thought, oh, that's Ray, that's just you, that's him, oh, Ray, I had to go in the service station, do some stuff there, and I come out, and this fella's still here in the motorcycle. And as I walked by the motorcycle, I didn't stop. It all just happened. It happens just happening. I walked by, and I thought, that is a strange license plate on that motorcycle. And I didn't. The thought came and went just that quickly. I paid no attention. Just how it was. But I go and I engage this guy in conversation. I ask, oh, how you do? Where are you headed? Where are you from? I can't do it. Many of you would do it authentically. Steve, I should really get Steve could do it, or William. They're pros. Australia? No wonder I didn't recognize the license plate. It was from Australia. And so that launched the conversation. I wish I could say it was a great, massive Jesus conversation. It wasn't. But I did have opportunity to identify myself and to encourage him to give some thought. What happened? He said, well, I quit my job. I'm actually driving my motorcycle around the world. And I started in Vancouver, and I'm driving to wherever, where's Rolly? Whatever happens out east. That's where I'm going, to the far end before I fall off, right? And so I began to speak to him and encourage him to give thought to Jesus, talked about the goodness of God and all God's created. It was a happening for me. But that was just the first one. The second one was a few days later, Linda's brother and sister-in-law came to visit us. The last time they came to visit us was probably about 25 years ago. So it was pretty significant that they would come to visit us from Calgary. But in the happenings of the whole weekend, I was so blessed. Allison and I ended up sitting on the deck. Everybody else took off after supper. We had the warmest and the most open conversation about the things of God that we've had in 40 years. I was just so blessed to be able to share with them. And then later on, Wayne and Allison likewise. To me, it was just a testimony of the goodness of God in providing opportunity that God would use me other than up here, right? That God would use me just in a small way to encourage and bless. It was wonderful. So I just give thanks to God for all that.
Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Oh yeah, Candace. Brad's next. Or are you going back that way? Bill, after Brad.
Speaking of like vehicles, one time, I can't remember why I was in Winnipeg, I was driving back by myself, and Cam had just got new tires on the van, and I didn't have any concerns, but it was making like this really weird noise, you know, like, oh, I pray for our trip every time, so bled the blood of Jesus over, and it just got worse, it was like the scraping, and so I actually took a video of the sound to show Cam after, and we took it in to Corey next door at Cat Muffler. And apparently something wasn't tightened properly when they did the wheel, and he couldn't understand how that wheel did not fall off of my vehicle and go flying into the ditch.
Well, a lug had busted off the hub, and another one was ready to bust off.
Yeah, it's a blue job. I don't do vehicle stuff, so... So I was, and he's just like, well, and I really felt like there was a time when he felt that all of a sudden that fear tried to come. And I said, no, I am driving home safe. I am fine. And I prayed in the spirit for a while until I felt peace. And then I continued on with my trip. And so then I just said, well, the Lord protected me. I told the mechanic, and he's like, yeah, I think he did. And I'm not sure where his relationship is, but he might have believed in the Lord after that. So just praise the Lord for his protection, but an opportunity to speak to his grace in our lives.
That's right. Why not, Brad? We'll have Brad, and then I think Amanda's on deck. And we got Bill. You better be ready to jump after Bill if you're ready. You guys got to get going here. All right.
Thanks, Cam.
Yeah.
As probably most of you know, we've just moved here about 3 months ago. In retrospect, we were far away from all our children. And this was a chance for me to get close to my kids enough that I could at least try to spend more time with them. But it hasn't been easy. We've had a lot of financial stresses lately. The move was big. And to get our vehicle safety over and replated, because we were from Saskatchewan, that, is a big expense. And about 2 weeks ago, we were sitting at our kitchen table, and both of us were just absolutely stressed. And I remember my mom called, and we're talking. You know, I finally broke down, and just it just came out. It just blabbed out, and you know, my mom said, "Just pray." And my parents were always very, very deep in their faith in Christianity, and I was raised that way for a lot of years. And you know, when I was 18, I walked away from the faith, and you know, it's taken a lot of years to get back into my faith. A lot of my past, it's too long to talk about it today, but you know, there's a lot of contributing factors that you know, pushed me away, and I pushed my faith away. And so, you know, Mom said, pray. So we did, and I just, that night I got on my knees and said, you know, for some reason, let's, you know, is there any way we could ease up our finances? I remember Allie telling me, well, you know, text Cam. So I did, and he got in contact with Ray. So yeah, we got talking, and you know, with the way the finances were, and the situation with the kids, he said, you know, I got a place for you. That's probably a lot cheaper. So we went over and looked, and yeah, you know, it was. It was enough of a place for us, you know, and therefore, you know, we've decided to take it, and hopefully it'll ease up a little bit on our stress load for us. But yeah, I guess in a way, you know, coming back into the faith has really, I think, helped both Allie and I deal with some of the challenges that we're facing today. Our challenges aren't over by any stretch of the imagination, but it definitely shows that you know, the more we start to believe and the more we practice this faith, that the more God's going to deliver for us.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hang up here. Just stay for a second.
Let's just pray with Brad right now. I'm just going to pray and to just declare God's blessing over their lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brad and Allie. We thank you for bringing them to this church family. And Lord, we stand with them in faith. And we declare freedom for their finances in the name of Jesus. We declare that they are above and not beneath, Lord, that you bring blessing into their home, Lord. And they are the lender, not the borrower. And so as they pursue you, Lord, we thank you that you have abundance and provision for them beyond what they can imagine. We release it into their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing that, Brad. If you haven't had the chance to meet Brad and Allie, go ahead and introduce yourselves. They have a neat story, and they're really easy to talk to. And we've really enjoyed getting to know them over the last few weeks and months. So bless you guys. All right, Amanda, you're up.
Okay, I will try to get through this. Keep my composure. I'm shaking and hot.
You're wearing a sweater, though.
Is it hot in here? I didn't grow up in a... It starts already. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I went to church with my grandma when I stayed overnight at her house. That's about it. And about 20 years ago, God, give me strength. About 20 years ago, correction? How many years ago? They found a tumor in my brain. And the doctors took some of that out and got the rest with radiation. And that, when I woke up from that surgery, something changed. I knew something changed. My brother, who is somehow became very, very active in the Christian Cowboy Association. He would have been only 16 or 17 at the time, so I'm sure he had no idea what he wanted to be when he grew up at the time, but now he's very active there. He came into my hotel room. I called the hospital a hotel. That's how. But he came into my room, and there was a halo above his head. Sounds. Yeah, right, Amanda. How could that happen? But from that day forward, I knew that God was in my life.
Wow.
I knew that God was in my life before, but it was different. I was angry. I was, you know how young people are, and there was a lot that went on in my life. I lost my father when I was just young, and I blamed God for that, and I wondered why. And after the surgery, it just changed so much. I'm sure I can't explain everything, but one Saturday night, we didn't go to church. One Saturday night, that little boy, he used to be little, he came to me and he just said, "Mom, can we go to church tomorrow?" How does a 4-year-old kid just out of nowhere come and say, "Can we go to church?"
Wow.
I said, "Of course we can, my boy." And we went we went to a Baptist church in town in Asquith, where we used to live. And it was a wonderful church. And they accepted us with grace, as everyone here has. And I just want to thank everybody here. And in a couple weeks, Chris and I have a trip scheduled to go to Saskatoon. A year ago, I went for just a random MRI, and the doctors told me that there was a tumor growing in my brain again. And in 2 weeks, we're going back to Saskatoon for another MRI. And show those doctors the glory of God.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ has removed that tumor from my brain.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And I will return and tell you all how well, how healed I am.
Amen. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Amanda and Chris. We thank you for bringing them to our church family. And we agree in faith that Amanda is healed, healthy, and whole from the bottom of her feet to the top of her head, and especially the top of her head. Lord, we thank you for what you have done, and we rejoice in advance for this report that this tumor is gone and cleared, and we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Who's next? Was it Josh? Well, early bird gets the worm. Whoever's up here gets to do it, so.
I didn't even really think I had a testimony, and then we were like, we do have one from earlier this year, May or June, we think it was May. We got broke into, I don't know if any of you know that, like our garage got broken into in May, and I was like the one night I forgot to set the alarm, it was okay, it was a, like everything lined up perfectly for the guy who broke in because the alarm didn't go off like it was supposed to. It was in test mode that night for some reason. Anyway, he broke in, smashed the side of the... I forgot to lock the garage. That's what I forgot to do. We just walked into the garage. Anyway, we don't know who it was, smashed the side of the passenger side of the vehicle, took some of Shell's stuff, and then bear maced the driver's side of the vehicle. It was funny. I really freaked out because I thought it was blood, and it was just orange stuff, right? So then, I touched it. the miracle here, the testimony here is the cops got the person like just hours after because he had Shell's MasterCard and he went to Timmy's with it, and so they're on the lookout for the person, right? And they found him by a giant tiger and. He had bear mace, and so the cop that was dealing with us, he was there, and he saw, like, the orange stuff on the side of the can, and he was like, that looks like the stuff that's on the side of the vehicle. He phoned us, don't touch it! It was too late. It was too late, our eyes were burning, and yeah, it was good stuff, but the testimony is we got everything back, like, absolutely everything. He took Shell's purse, her favorite purse, he took her work keys, he took, like, all that stuff, and we got it back within hours, like, well... We got the word keys back within hours. The cops still have that stuff, but we know that we have it back. Like it's,
amen.
It was just crazy. Like we were super shook, and then we decided we'll pray about it. God's in charge of the situation, and yeah, sure enough, he was, and we have all of our awesome. Stuff back, everything. Yeah.
God's faithful; he restores. All right, come up as well. Yep, you're next, though. All right, cool.
I Well, thanks, Josh. I needed that moment to gather myself after hearing Amanda's testimony. The Spirit of God is so strong in this place, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is here. And as we were worshiping this morning, I really felt God speak to me, and I just wanted to share a little bit, if I got a few minutes, just to say. And you all know the story in Ezekiel chapter 7 about the valley of the dry bones and how God commands Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones. And what I really sensed the Lord was saying this morning is, and I wrote it down, I am the resurrected Christ. I resurrect that which was dead and bring it to new life. I cause the dead bones to come to life and cause sinew to grow. I bring to life that which was dead, dreams, visions, purposes. I break chains of oppression, debt, disease, and sin. I am resurrecting broken dreams, relationships. I'm resurrecting broken promises. I'm resurrecting broken businesses, broken ministries. And restoring hope once more. Don't look to your circumstances, but focus on me. As you praise and exalt me more in my name, I will resurrect all that was dead in you, causing you to come forth like fire and flame. I will do it, saith the Lord. Speak forth my word in faith and sow seeds of resurrection and watch the glory of God arise. Hallelujah is right. Cam touched a little bit on that this morning. God is speaking that he's resurrecting that which was dead. And you know, in just this past little while, over this last month, God is just beginning to resurrect inside of me dreams, visions, purpose for my own life. You know, Paul touched on it this morning a little bit about how he was in a dry place, the dry season in his life. I've experienced that. I know what a dry season is. And it seems like nothing's growing. But it's a time of growth. Our faith is growing. It doesn't seem like anything else is happening in our life, but our faith is growing. And God is raising that which was dead and causing it to come forth to life once again. So I just want to encourage you with that, that God is doing something amazing. Start looking forward to it and start speaking to those dead places in your own life, and God is going to raise it up. You know, Cam asked me to share a few testimonies, and as you well know, some of the past Ray touched on different things that have been happening out at the acreage, and man, there's been a lot of things that have happened at the acreage over the last year and a half, 2 years. And one of the things that happened out there was the shop burnt down last winter, as many of you know. And my tractor was sitting right beside the shop. Of course, I didn't have insurance on my tractor. I had insurance on some few other things. And so, to a lot of people, that would have been a dead thing. And so I asked the adjuster when he's there, and he says, well, you know what? He says, put it in as a lawn and garden instrument. Who puts an 830 case tractor in as a lawn and garden instrument? But I said, okay, I'm in faith, I'm going to do this. And so, when you submit your form to the insurance company, they want to know what you paid for it and what the replacement cost would be. So I went online and I found a Case 830 tractor, Comfort King, same as I had pretty much, but it was $7,200 and something. So I submitted that. Last week, praise God, I got a check from the insurance company for $7,200 minus the $400. Is that good? God is restoring. He's the resurrecting Christ. He's the resurrected Jesus Christ. And he's resurrecting those things that have been stolen, those things that have been broken, and that are things that have been missing. The other testimony I have is we're staying in the Green Acres campground for the summer. And I have lots of opportunity to meet new people that are coming and going all the time. And the one story I just want to share with you is last week we had a little boy come over to our campsite. And he's just a talkative little guy. He's 7 years old. So I said to him, well, what's your name? He says, Isaiah. And so I walk into our camp, and he says, can I come in? I said, sure, come on in. I said, you know, Isaiah, your name's in the Bible? He says, really? my name's in the Bible? I said, yeah. He said, show me. So I got my Bible out, and I got an older Bible, and it's got all the tabs on it with the dippered books in it. So I turned to Isaiah, and he says, yep, that's my name. And he says, do you have any brothers or sisters? He says, nope. He says, but I got a cousin. His name is Jacob. And I says, Jacob's name's in here too. Really? Yeah. So I showed him where Jacob was in the Bible. He was so excited. And I said, you know what, Isaiah, I'm going to get you a Bible. So Kathy went out to the Hearts, and Linda gave us this children's story Bible. It's got all kinds of pictures in it. Well, I brought it home, and I said, and he come over, and I said, Isaiah, I got your Bible. He says, oh, good. He says, my name in it? And I said, yeah. So he said, can you show me? So I showed it to him. And it's a lot harder to find Isaiah in the children's book, Bible. So the look on his face was not one of a whole lot of appreciation. It was kind of... So I gave him the Bible, and he goes home. 10 minutes later, he comes knocking on my door again. He says, you know, he says, this Bible's okay, but he says, I really can't find my name in it. Not like the other Bible that you had. And I said, oh, okay. So I invited him to come in. Anyways, we're sitting on the couch and we're talking. And actually, I told him the story about Jesus and asked him if he would like to accept Jesus into his heart. And he did. You know, at 7 years old, he may not have understood a whole lot, but he said the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus into his heart. But anyway, he went home, and he says, can I have this old Bible? I said, sure, you can have the old Bible. And I said, you can have both Bibles. So he goes home, and he takes both Bibles, and he is happy, happy, happy. 10 minutes later, there's a knock on the door again, and here's his dad, and he says, you know, Isaiah, this is an old Bible that you have here, and, you know, Isaiah should just keep the young children's Bible. And I said, you know what? He can have them both. He says, are you sure? I said, yeah, I could probably got 4 or 5 different Bibles. I says, I've got some writings in there, but I said, he can keep the Bible. Isaiah was standing there with his dad, and he was crying because his dad didn't want him to have that Bible. But I said, you know what? You know, maybe, Dad, you could read it to him. You know, opportunities are there constantly. You know, Ray was praying this morning about, or talking this morning about, you know, asking God for opportunities. You know, when I was speaking in Dauphin, and I've been helping the church out there off and on over the last summer, and they are... It's a great place to go and to minister. They are an encouraging bunch of people. When you speak there, they are, amen, hallelujah. They're clapping their hands. They're raising their hands. You know what? When we do that here, as someone is up here ministering, I'll tell you, the anointing of God is drawn out of them. Cam touched on that this morning about how the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes, you know, on the worship team. But as we engage in worship together, the anointing is just drawn out of these guys even more. So I want to encourage you, when someone's up here speaking, man, give a hallelujah. Say an amen. Clap your hands. I mean, don't be afraid. Amen. The last testimony I want to share this morning is when we had the fourplex, we had a couple moved in, and they were from Pakistan. And a Muslim couple. But they really liked me for some reason. And she would, whenever I would go over there, she would always invite me over for tea. She made this great chai tea. And she always wanted to cook for me. And I didn't always have a whole lot of time, but, you know, it was God was working in, and I had to slow my time down just to spend some time with them because it's sowing seed. Anyway, they were trying to have a child, and they couldn't have a child. To make a long story short, God has used me probably 5 or 6 different times to pray for different women who have been unable to have children, and they've had children. So I said, you know what, I'll pray for you. And she really asked me to pray for them. And I prayed for them. And they're Muslims, but I prayed for them in Jesus' name, and they received it. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, she texted me, and she said, Bill, I'm so happy I am pregnant. And I share the gospel with her. And she's very more open than her husband, but she's very open. And she says, you are like an angel to me. You know, and she asked me to pray. And I just want to encourage you, if you guys would pray with her too, that she would carry the child a full term. Amen? You know, when I was in Dauphin, and I said, one of the things I said is, I got testimonies from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But I said, I want a new testimony every week. I don't want to come up here and tell you a story or a testimony of something that happened 20 years ago. Yeah, that might encourage you a little bit, but I want something that God is doing every day, every week. We should all be like that. Amen? What's God doing new in your life? And when we come together, I mean, excitement. There was people that get excited. We get excited when we hear what God is doing today. And I just want to encourage you, look for opportunities. Pray and ask God for an opportunity where you could be a blessing or God can bless you. And the last thing that I wanted to share is that when I was in Dauphin probably 2 months ago, and as I was speaking there, this download just came from the Holy Spirit. And he said, blessing and increase is the road to increase. Blessing and increase is the road to increase. And Cam's been kind of touching on this over the last 3 weeks where he's talking about forgiveness. The Bible says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. Forgive those who sinned against you. Amen? Bless those who cursed you. You know, as we are a blessing, and as we release those people into the hands of God, and we release those things that have burdened us, God is going to bring increase. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Bill. We receive God's word. Amen. Helen, did you have a testimony or were you just adjusting yourself? Come on up. I'd have the worship team actually come up. We're gonna end with a song. So why don't you guys get ready?
Well. We have testimony every day. This is thank you. Lord, I have testimony every day. I like take testimony. I travel from Cowan to Swan River evening. And I travel very slowly because when I am in the car, I worship and glory to God, you know, pray everything. I sometimes travel 3 kilometers an hour. Okay. I pray, looking on the right side, I see these horses. I have small car, Cavalier, small.
Put nice and close.
Oh, I looking these horses this side. I'm looking much more. This is big elk. He travel, he running through shell. Shoulder, I travel to road and looking to him, I think so, wow, I starting too fast, maybe he live. Okay, when I travel fast, maybe this elk lift me. But I starting 40, 50, 60, 70, he travel with me. I travel 90, he running with me. And I don't have time things normal. This is, for me, it's fun. He running, I travel, and one moment this elk left under my car. I don't have chance nothing. I don't have chance stop. I don't have nothing. This is one moment. This elk is left for my car, and inside, and I see him stomach because my car is small. A big elk. You know, I see stomach, you know, I see two large hands. So take this elk and the seat and push him. So I travel.
Praise God.
Jesus help me. And you know, miracle. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you. God bless you. We got two testimonies of large animals getting pushed out of the way. Amen. God's faithful. He protects us. Why don't we stand? We're going to sing one of the songs we sang this morning. Then, Fallon, I'll get you to send us off when we're done this song. Go ahead, guys.